Chapter 47. Rosmarin. I stood up and helped Christoph off the ground. I could tell he was upset, furious that Zillin had escaped, but there was no way I was going to let him kill the sorcerer only to lose him forever in the void between worlds, or some distant, dangerous land far away from me. Besides, we had defeated Zillin's army. Kukulkan, the devourer of worlds, lay dead on the battlefield. Zillin had retreated with grave injuries, probably as far away from Nahuatl as he could get. It wasn't a complete win, but we had saved Nahuatl, at least for the foreseeable future, and I would take that as a victory. We knew Zillin was out there now, and now we could hunt him down instead of waiting for him to find us. Deafening cheers echoed all around us, and the blue and silver flags mixed with the red and gold ones. Moon and sun symbols waved in the golden light of the sunset. Soldiers threw off their helmets, hugged each other, and yelled into the sky. Rachel and Erwin rushed over and hugged Christoph and me before Onyx grabbed almost all of us and lifted us up off the ground in a fierce embrace, causing us to laugh, but also to wince in pain. We were all covered in cuts, blood, bruises, and sweat. But we were alive. The shouts of joy turned to cries of despair as we finally took stock of all the damages done and lives lost. Even though our forces had outnumbered the hordes with Sophia's reinforcements, we still lost far too many of our own. The dead lay all around us, reminding us of the terrible cost of war. All of these soldiers had sacrificed their lives to protect their people, and for that, we would always remember them. As I looked around the red-stained field, at the dead werewolves and nargwals from Nahuatl and at my own people, I mourned for their families that would never get to see them again. If only I were able to fight these battles on my own and save good men and women from such death and destruction, I would do so in a heartbeat, although my council would never allow me to do any hard task on my own. With that, I realized these soldiers who had given their lives for us all were the same. Just like me, they were willing to do whatever they could to stop the evil lurking in the ruins, in the world. They were true heroes. Sorcerers began tending to the wounded, sending pulsating magic spells over them. Those with only minor injuries were easy for the skilled magic users to heal, but we needed to take those with more dire wounds back to the city, with its infirmary and healing houses. We sent a host of able-bodied soldiers to Nahuatl for carriages to let us transport the wounded back, while the sorcerers, Jasmina, Sahar, and Christoph cared for everyone they could. Before healing anyone, Christoph first tended to his own wounds. He had burns on the right side of his body from Zillin's fire spell he had dodged, and he suffered many other scrapes, cuts, and bruises. He slid his brown eyes closed, and his skin pulsated with glowing light. Slowly, his wounds closed, and his skin regrew in places it had been missing. And when he opened his eyes, he looked fresh, like he was brand new, like a miracle. Next, he tended to Jace, Lynx, and Michaela, who had suffered the worst injuries out of our company. Zillin's fire spells had burned Jace badly, and the werewolf was missing several patches of fur. He was in a lot of pain, but the warrior was tough, and he still celebrated with us in our victory. He seemed more concerned for Lynx, who had caught a blast straight in the chest, and when he landed, he cracked his arm against the ground. His bones stuck out awkwardly from his black, blood-matted fur. Christoph went to the Nargwal and placed a hand over his bloody arm where his bone poked out. As Christoph gently moved his glowing hand over Lynx's fur, his arm radiated with warm light, and although Lynx cried out in pain, the bone slowly shifted until it was back in place. Christoph pushed more light into the jaguar until the wound closed up completely. Lynx stared at his healed arm with his yellow eyes wide, and, without knowing what to say, he threw his arms around Christoph in a hug. The pair laughed, and then Christoph stood up and walked over to Michaela. She had suffered a nasty fall from her horse earlier in the battle, and gashes covered her furry legs. Kristoff used his powers to mend each of her bruises, until all that was left was traces of blood. He did the same for all of us, using his light to repair us. He went from soldier to soldier that lay wounded on the battlefield, healing whoever he could until the sun slipped beneath the horizon. And then, having depleted so much of his powers, he collapsed.
"He is fine,"
Sahar soothed as she leaned over him with her hand on his forehead.
"He used all of his power without stopping to let it return, but he'll be fine in the morning."
I watched over him and did what I could for the wounded, walking around the battlefield, now a makeshift infirmary with bladders of water. My soldiers nodded and gave me firm grasps when I came by to let them drink, all happy to see me and wanting to celebrate our victory even as they lay with injuries, some of them very serious. I smiled and hugged each one and thanked them for their bravery, but it seemed like it wasn't enough. I wished I could do more for these heroes. I reminded myself of the promise I had made only a few days ago. It seemed like it was a lifetime ago that I rode through the streets of Nahuatl back to the ruins, when I had seen werewolves of the city smile up at me. I had vowed to make the kingdoms of Nahuatl and Constanta better places. I would do it for these soldiers, who sacrificed so much. Early the following morning, the host returned with carriages to carry the injured back to Nahuatl, where Catala and her team could tend to them in the infirmary. Kristoff was awake and feeling much better, and we carefully loaded them into the carts and took them back to the castle and to different healing houses throughout the city after the infirmary had quickly filled up. Any citizens who had the skills tended to the soldiers, everyone doing their part, whether big or small. We placed many of my forces who had been injured in healing houses, so that meant the werewolves of Nahuatl were face to face with vampires, who we left in their care. Throughout the following days, as I journeyed from house to house to check on my people, I saw budding friendships form between the races that had once been locked in a terrible feud. The stigma and stereotypes that many of the Nahuatlans still carried melted away as they realized their common bonds. Even after facing so much death and destruction, I could see the faint blossoms of flowers that bloomed, the green shoots that sprouted up after a fire, growing from the ashes, as Constanta and Nahuatl worked together. Sophia and I had made a new covenant before any of this had even started, and now we were seeing that promise played out before us. And we couldn't have been happier. After a few mornings after returning to Nahuatl, I sat with Sophia in her garden with the council. We shared a gourmet breakfast. While Rachel and I had our golden goblets of blood, the rest of our group helped themselves to overflowing plates of food. Onyx and Kristoff playfully fought over who could eat the most, while Erwin gleefully chatted with Sahar and Jasmina. Michaela told us stories from her time in Corwin Forest, and Jason Lynx recalled memories of growing up in Nahuatl, as Rachel, Sophia, and I listened quietly. Summer was in full bloom, and the gardens were alive with brightly colored flowers. The happy sounds of the city carried up the hill to us where we sat and chatted with each other. I smiled at my council, and Lynx, Jace, Michaela, and Jasmina, our honorary council members. Kristoff sat across from me, between Rachel and Onyx. They laughed and teased each other, much like they always had, but I felt that bond between us, that invisible string that tied us all together, was even stronger now. Completely unbreakable. Sophia sat to my right at the head of the table. She wore her golden crown, and it sparkled in the warm sun. Her white dress was almost blinding to look at, but it reminded me of Kristoff's power when he, Sahar, and Jasmina had unleashed to kill Kukulkan.
"When do you plan to return home?"
Sophia asked me as she sipped her wine, her big brown eyes never leaving me. Home? I had thought about returning many times on our journey here, and the notion had always been in the back of my mind. But
In the days that followed the battle, we had been so busy looking after the injured and cleaning up the battlefield, I had almost been too busy to think about it. Embarking on the long journey back had only been some distant thing that we would arrive at eventually. "Soon," I replied thoughtfully. "There's still work to do."
"And don't forget about the celebrations,"
Jace winked at me from across the table.
"I can't wait to see the Vampire Queen of Constanta paraded through the streets of Nahuatl."
"Don't make fun,"
Kristoff insisted, but we all knew Jace was serious. I remembered the night he had scoffed as he set the chalice of blood before me, and now here he was, sitting with my council, laughing and joking. I was going to miss him when we left.
The following days kept us busy with clearing the battlefield and preparing for the celebrations. Like we had done in Treble Village, after our first skirmish with the Lichlings, we dragged all the undead bodies into unceremonious piles and burned them. The stinking smoke rose high over the field, above the jungle. It was a beacon that you could see for miles around, a reminder that we would always stomp out any evil. Our own dead, we moved to an open area between the battlegrounds and Nahuatl. In a somber ritual, Sophia consecrated the area for a graveyard, a holy place where we would lay our fallen comrades to rest, and where we could always come and visit them and remember their sacrifices. Both Sophia and I, queens of our respective kingdoms, said poignant words to each of our dead, and then we laid them to rest. My council took another final trip to the ruins. This time Sophia came with us. Although they were nearby, she had never been, and as I learned more about this innocent queen, I realized there was much she had never experienced. But a legendary charge into battle and her desire to revisit the ruins with us told me she was hoping to change that.
"Wow, I hadn't realized Tenochtitlan was so massive,"
she exclaimed as we explored the ruins, this time without the fear of being attacked by zombies, lichlings, or mummies.
"When it's empty of the dead, it's actually pretty interesting,"
Rachel mused as she kicked a piece of rubble in front of her. "It's too bad the temple collapsed," I added. "I really would have loved to explore it some more."
"You just want to steal artifacts,"
Kristoff teased as he came up behind me and wrapped his arms around me.
"Maybe,"
I giggled. We walked around the ruins, checking for any other signs of Zillin or his armies, making sure that Nahuatl truly was safe. But all we found were crumpled buildings and the remnants of an ancient city.
"I'll send an excavation team to see what we can dig up,"
Sophia informed me.
"I'm sure there's a lot we can learn about the people who used to live here, and maybe we will find clues of Zillin's greater plan."
We knew the Shadowmancer was still out there, and had hints of his devious plan that involved breaking spells to awaken a sleeping beast. I knew he hadn't only wanted to overthrow Nahuatl, and so he was still out there, still with evil notions in his head. But I pushed those thoughts from my mind. For now, we had other matters to attend to. Several days after we had returned from Tenochtitlan, the festivities began, and the people decorated all of Nahuatl, ready for the celebrations. For the first day, everyone gathered in the city streets, and my council and I, Sophia, and our soldiers paraded through the streets. As I waved at the people, these Nargwals and werewolves waving back to me, I choked back tears as I thought about what might have happened had we not stopped Kukulkan and Zillin. I had been more than terrified that they would try to destroy the city, but they had been far luckier than my people in Constanta had been. As far as I knew, rebuilding efforts were still happening back home, and would be for a long time after the battles we suffered, and I was beyond thankful that Nahuatl would not have to face the same obstacles. The celebrations lasted for a week, but now that much of the work had been done, I noticed myself growing restless. It was time to go home. My council felt it too as we aimlessly wandered the castle grounds, or through the gardens, or visited the city. We wanted to see our own people, and our own home. We packed all our belongings, and as we had done on that day we left Constanta, we stowed our luggage in the carriage and saddled up our horses. For the last time, we stood out in front of the magnificent castle and watched the sunrise over Nahuatl, the land of light and color. Sophia, Lynx, and Jace stood with us quietly, not wanting to say goodbye. "Take care of your queen, will you?" I smiled at Lynx and Jace through teary eyes. Jace wrapped me in a warm hug and kissed my cheek. "As long as you take care of Kristoff for me." We laughed, and then Lynx embraced me tightly. "Come visit us any time, okay?" I half begged them as I released Lynx from my arms. Sophia, garbed in a muted dress with tears falling down her own face, descended the steps of her home and put her warm hands on my face. "I can never thank you enough for what you have done for my people. We will never, ever forget it. And should you need us, I will always honor my promise to you." The werewolf queen trembled slightly as she hugged me, and it took everything in me not to devolve into sobs. I wished I could stay with her, to guide and mentor her, but I sensed a new strength in this young queen that hadn't been there before. When we first had met, she hid behind her decadence. But as I pulled away from her and looked into her warm, flawless face, I knew she had matured and was fully ready to be the queen her people needed. We said our final goodbyes and descended the hill that led into the city.